Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Today was a big day in Los Angeles, not for the Lakers, but for the Clippers. And it was an understated press conference, which I expected when you talk about Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and basically the stepchild to the Lakers in the city. It just is. There's nowhere around it. The Clippers have never won anything. They've bounced around to town to town. San Diego back. Buffalo, I think they're right, where once the Buffalo Braves and all kinds of stuff. So they've been around. But they had the sunshine today because they were winners. The Nets and the Clippers were the two biggest winners in the free agency this past offseason, and they got two big stars. What jumped out about the press conference to you? Was there anything other than the idea that the Clippers, and I know it's hard for people to fathom and grasp and hold on to, but they have a chance to win. They have a chance to win a championship. In fact, I'm standing out here. I'm going to be out in the wilderness by myself, and I'm telling you that the Clippers will win the NBA championship this year.
You think you're in the wilderness on that?
Yeah, to win it?
Who is saying otherwise? Who is saying...
No, I'm not saying people are saying they have a chance. I don't know how many people are saying they're going to win it. I'm going to tell you the next two NBA champions.
Go ahead.
Clippers this year and the Brooklyn Nets next year. Those are the next 2 years.
Yeah.
You hear me?
I'll tell you this. I don't know that I trust.
Ain't nobody saying that out there. Nobody in Sports Talk Radio America.
Well, Brooklyn, I don't know that I trust Kyrie.
I do. I've seen him play against the Warriors. I saw him average 28 points. I saw him knock down big shots in big games. He's the kind of guy who could get to the basket at any time that you need in big games. He's played in those games, and with Kevin Durant as the lead, he will be perfect. I'm telling you, it'll be rejuvenated. That team will be great. And this team, because I love what the Clippers did a year ago. I love that they traded Tobias Harris, their best player, and they still won 48 games, and they still went to the playoffs, and they beat the Warriors in Golden State, in Oakland, with a healthy Kevin Durant twice, including coming back from 31 points on the road when they could have easily rolled over and said, why do we want to go back home and play a game six to lose? We could just give it up here and it'd be all over.
Well, and that's why I like them as well, because that's the ethos of the entire organization. Mental toughness, they talk about...
They don't quit!
The term that they use, Rob, I don't know if you've heard this, blacktop versus big top. And I don't know if you have heard that or not, but Big Top is the other team across town. They're the ones with, a circus-like atmosphere. And the Clippers they want guys that play like they're on the blacktop. And Patrick Beverley is that.
I love that guy. He's one of my favorites. And you know what? You remember when Lonzo debuted in the NBA?
And Patrick Beverley was
picking
him up full court?
He D'd him up on the inbounds, right? Full court.
Sure.
I'm like, wow, we don't see that anymore.
He's an old school guy, and
had to earn his way to the NBA.
That's exactly what I was
going to
say. He was in China.
I'm going to make you earn it.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
Montrezl Harrell, second round pick. Love that guy.
Lou Williams. Love that guy.
I agree with you.
Doc Rivers. Won a championship already. I thought last year was his best coaching job.
I agree, 100%. And I think that Kawhi now, to what I was saying a minute ago, this is the ethos of the organization. We're not flashy. We're not the big top. We're not the circus. We don't talk. We don't subtweet. We don't, what does this Instagram post mean? Like, I don't even know if Kawhi has Instagram. They just get to work. They play ball.
Elijah, does he? Do you know?
Does Kawhi? Yeah, I don't think he does.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows what Instagram is. I don't even know. Does he even have a... Thanks, Kawhi. I appreciate that. Stop, you're embarrassing me. Does he even have the smartphone yet, or does he still do the flip phone? I know that was like a big point of contention a few years ago.
He's got enough cash to do that now.
Right? I mean, he's got like a $13 million home, so he's doing fine.
So, right, let's not act like he's living in a bandbox or a studio apartment or something.
But I just think that I'm with you in the sense that I like this team, but I like the kind of mentality that they have. I now think that Kawhi Leonard is the face of that kind of, like I said, ethos, that mentality of we're tougher than you, we're more physical than you, we want to play defense, which I think is a huge thing that nobody talks about.
Look at their team. Yes? They're going to be a hell of a defensive team. Mm-hmm. And they have those guys. We saw Giannis destroy the Eastern Conference, destroy the NBA. And then all of a sudden, Kawhi Leonard guarded him. And what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals? All of a sudden, he shot 30. He was shooting over 60% from the field, went down to 35% when Kawhi guarded him. That ain't by happenstance.
Absolutely.
And remember, that Milwaukee won the first two games of that series and didn't win another one.
I remember. And it speaks to Kawhi, who he is. I mean, I remember I was actually in Vegas for my bachelor party, but I remember...
Speaking of Magic City Monday.
Yeah. We may have had a few Magic City type experiences there.
Really?
But we were actually teased for later in the show. We were supposed to go to Mayweather's club that weekend, but you know, one of the nights got a little bit hazy and whatever. We didn't make it. So
your wife didn't have a heart attack? Did you going to have a... Some women don't want their husbands to be... to even have a bachelor party.
No, she knows. She had a bachelorette, so I think they did like a little Magic Mike thing.
You didn't have a problem with that, did you?
No.
Guys don't have a problem. It's only women who have the problem. Guys,
100%.
Right?
Yeah, no, and she's cool. I mean...
Do your thing. Have fun.
Well,
it'll be all right.
Not to get too far off track, but Clay Travis, our buddy from the morning show, always says this, is the place where your man is going to get into least trouble is at the strip club. Because if he goes to the regular bar, you know, 2-for-1 happy hour.
Could be.
You know, you might meet a nice little single girl. The girls, as you referenced off the top of the show, I don't know how we got on this subject, but they're there to work. They're there to pay bills. They're there to go to college.
They are.
They just want Rob Parker to help them get through school.
That's all they care about. They really don't care about me. They want the loot in my pocket.
Oh, that's okay. Big Daddy.
They're like, is that a wad of money? Or are you just, you know, what? Nah, that's a corn cob I just happen to have in my pocket.
Okay, whatever. Different strokes for different folks, whatever. But so I was watching game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. To get back on track here.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
In Vegas. And it was incredible where the light bulb just flipped. And I'm having trouble focusing on Kawhi.
I don't believe
Kawhi
I said
right
that.
Now.
I'm trying to figure out what was I thinking.
I wanted to ask you real quick. We're going to talk Clippers, but Lakers. Were you as unimpressed with the moves post Anthony Davis as I was? Because I sat there and I felt like when, you know, we talked about everything that we like about the Clippers, but I felt like the Lakers, when they didn't get Kawhi, they scrambled. I'm not a Boogie Cousins guy. I'm not a Rondo guy at this point in his career. I didn't like those moves at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. Everybody says, the Lakers did an unbelievable job after the fact. I don't buy into that.
I agree.
Those are pieces, parts that were laying around. And here's the other part. Just be honest. While all the other movements going on, and everybody's being snapped up, why are these guys left? Why are they available late in the game? Why? They were wait. They couldn't have been waiting around to see if the Lakers were going to get Kawhi, because then there wouldn't be room for them.
Sure.
So why were they available? I don't buy that at all.
Of course. Boogie Cousins on one leg. Rajon Rondo's running out of teams.
We saw the report from ESPN. They were like, there's no interest in Boogie Cousins.
No market.
Zero. Yep. There was no market.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, remember he dissed the Lakers to go to the Warriors. You remember that?
Of course.
So all of a sudden, now he's going to the Lakers. Come on, man.
No.
But the Clippers, I love what they did. They have a smart, rich owner.
Yep.
They have a great coach. They have something already in place.
You know what they have, though? They have an identity.
Yes, that's what they have. Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the Lakers. What are they? How do the pieces fit together?
You don't know yet.
Exactly. You know what you're going to get from the Clippers.
Is Anthony Davis going to wind up being like Kevin Love and Chris Bosh, standing on a perimeter, standing out there?
Or is he going to be sitting on the bench with a, you know, cast on his leg or something like that? He's played 70 games, I think, twice in his career.
He's missed 14 or more games in 5 of his first 7 seasons.
Yep.
So everybody can say, oh, what are you hating? Those are facts.
I agree.
Those are facts. Clippers, though, man, I am impressed where they're going. I love that it was understated. And you know what, Alex? It wasn't one of those over the top, let us bang our chest and go, not two, not three, not four.
Not four.
And not fireworks five, and all this other six, stuff. You don't do that. No. They didn't brag and say we're going to now dominate and win the next five championships. None of that. That doesn't fit with who they are and with what Kawhi and Paul George are. Totally. It's the understated superstars and the understated franchise that got something done even after giving up their star player.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob Parker, of course, the Baseball Hall of Fame voter, Hall of Fame inductions last weekend. I think we got to talk about a guy that's not in the Hall of Fame, though, and I actually kind of want your opinion on that, too, but it's Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds' 55th birthday today.
That's a big one. Double nickels.
The double nickels for the home run king, or at least, I guess, by technicality. In the record books, he's the home run king. Some would disagree. We're going to get to that in a minute, but first, Barry Bonds, the historic moment. Let's remember that.
And Bonds hits one high. Hits it deep. It is out of here. 756. Bonds stands alone. He is on top of the all-time home run list.
Tell me that you didn't get goosebumps.
I mean, did.
You did.
Great call.
There's nothing better. Did you hear that crowd?
Of course. I heard the crack of the bat.
It was unbelievable. That's one of those moments that you remember watching, and it was unbelievable.
That video, or that audio, by the way, was courtesy of Fox Sports Net. And of course, it was an iconic moment. Like you said, it was a great call, iconic moment. Barry Bonds in the record books, home run king. There's just one problem. As we celebrate his 55th birthday today, as you said, the double nickel, Rob, Bud Selig. So this story came out last week. Bud Selig was on Dan Patrick, and Dan Patrick asked him point blank, do you consider Barry Bonds to be the home run king? This is what Bud Selig said.
Who do you consider the all-time home run king?
Well, I've never really answered that, but I will say this to you. In my mind, even though Bonds holds the record, and I've said records are records, I think you know how I feel about Henry Aaron.
So Henry Aaron's the all-time home run king, in your opinion?
Yes.
I'm sorry. This is where Bud Selig strikes out. Seriously, how could a commissioner with a guy who set the record, and whatever you want to say Bonds took HGH, whatever, fine. Never tested positive during his playing career. Just didn't. It's a fact. Number two, how dare Bud Selig say he's not when you open up the baseball record book, he is. Number two, Bud Selig, so the World Series that the Yankees and Red Sox won when Big Poppy and David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez and Jason Giambi and Roger Clemens, how come those count? How come those count, Aaron? Can somebody explain to me why we just pick on the Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy? So why do we just pick on them? Can I want me to go deeper?
Go ahead.
Also, the managers that they put in the Hall of Fame, Tony La Russa, managed steroid guys. He helped him win. But it didn't stop him from getting in the Hall of Fame. Why doesn't his wins, aren't they? How come they're not tainted?
Joe Torre's
in the Hall of Fame. Can I go on? I mean, this is preposterous. Take away the Yankees championships. Take away the Red Sox. Take away Joe Torre's wins. Take away Tony La Russa's wins. If you're going to do this, you can't pick a couple people. We know it. He used to own the Brewers. He loves Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron was a great player. He's not N-O-T, the home run king. Barry Bonds is.
Well, here's my question. It's exactly what you said to open up. When you open up the record book, whose name is at the top of the list? It's Barry Bonds. And by the way, when did Barry Bonds play? when Bud Selig was commissioner.
Right.
You could have stepped in then. You could have stopped him. And I know, and listen, if you listen to these conversations with Bud Selig, you know that he does his whole thing where we couldn't get steroid testing in through the union, and there's all these reasons that it didn't happen. But you were commissioner when he was pursuing this record, when he passed this record. If you had such a problem, you could have stopped him, and you didn't.
And don't forget, for people who have short memories, that Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa saved baseball after the strike when they came back. The whole country, people, do you remember the cut-ins when those guys were coming up to bat? During, I don't care what game you were watching. Am I right?
100%.
Those guys, they cut in on every at-bat. What are you talking about? And to act like Bonds won three MVPs in Pittsburgh before he even went to San Francisco.
Sure.
And he wound up winning seven. Here's the Barry Bonds quiz I want everybody to take while you're driving or listening, whatever. How many times in his career did Barry Bonds hit over 50 home runs? How many times?
One time.
Thank you.
I only know that because I heard the Dan Patrick interview live, and it was referenced in the interview. I couldn't believe it when I heard that.
Because everybody thinks that once he started taking HGH, he was hitting 50 home runs every season. The 1 year was the year he hit the 73. That's it.
I know.
He never hit over 50 other than that 1 year. So all I'm saying is you can't pick and choose. That's what if we had tested every player in the major leagues during that era, and Bonds, Clemens, and Sosa and McGwire were the only ones who tested positive, then I'm with you. I guarantee you, if you were to go back and somehow we could do DNA and figure out who was right,
23andMe, yeah,
exactly. Yeah. We would find out that 75% of the league probably was either on it or tried it.
Sure. Here's my question. And I hate to besmirch the good name of an old man. How do we know Henry Aaron wasn't doing anything? Like, where do you draw the line where Barry Bonds, bad guy, like you said, are we now, is Roger Maris the single season home run king? How do we know he didn't do anything?
You don't know.
Exactly.
And here's the other part, too, that people just, when you talk about this, I want people to do their homework and do their research. More pitchers have been caught on steroid and the juice than hitters. So most of the time, Barry Bonds was probably on equal footing because guys were using it. We already Pettit, Clemens, right? All these.
Sure.
There's a whole list. The Mitchell Report, Aaron. There are 150, 175 names of guys who tested positive or admitted to use. Who they don't even have their name. Some of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. It's a joke. It really is. And if you can't look at Barry Bonds when he played and not think he's one of the greatest players you ever saw, he's the greatest player I ever saw.
Sure.
He could steal, he could field, he could hit for power, he hit for average. 1 year, he had over 225 walks. He used to get one or two pitches a game to hit. And one would be in he'd sit in a
McCovey Cove.
McCovey Cove in the water.
I'm with you.
I just keep thinking to myself, do people still not recognize him as the home run king?
I don't know if it's just a Bud Selig thing because of his relationship with Hank Aaron, but it was a bizarre comment to me. And I actually read the book. I actually read Bud Selig's book. I found most of it interesting. I was actually, believe it or not, a huge baseball fan when I was a kid. Ken Griffey Jr., my favorite athlete. And
growing up in Connecticut, it was Ken Griffey, huh?
Never iffy if it's Griffey. Remember?
I got you.
Yeah, but
he wound up being iffy in Cincinnati. That was the only bad.
You know
if
why?
If he had four good years, you know, those years were wasted in Cincinnati.
Well, it's because, for lack of a better term, he probably wasn't one of the guys taking something. By the way, unrelated, I see Randy Johnson around my neighborhood from time to time.
Really?
So, yeah, he's just hanging out, does his photography, whatever. But
don't talk back to me.
Remember New York, of course.
Yeah, that was
a
good classic.
Yeah. And
get that out of my face.
Oh, you knew he wasn't going to last in New York the second you saw that. And so with the Selig stuff, he's very outspoken about his relationship with Hank Aaron. It is personal. But I just draw the line in, you can't pick and choose what you want to enforce, what you don't, what records stand, what records don't, who was clean, who wasn't, who do you think was clean, who wasn't. That's where my thing is. Steroids, there wasn't testing for a good part of Bonds' career. even when he
when they tested, he didn't
he wasn't positive. I'm with you. And Bud Selig was the commissioner. It's not like he retired 30 years earlier and he's watching from the couch.
See, that's the part that and here's the other part. If you're going to say that, Bud Selig, then baseball should refund people their money who watch Bonds. All of that money should be refunded if you're telling me it didn't count and it's not real.
Huh.
Right?
Sure.
Okay. And the Yankees should return their championships. So should the Red Sox and any other team that won during that era who had a player who was suspected, busted, whatever word you want to use. You want to do that? No.
Of course not.
The only players they pick on are the home run hitters. And I get it. Hank Aaron was a hero to a lot of people. But you can't have it both ways. I'm sorry. Hank is not the home run king anymore. He's not. And for people to try to act like he is, and, well, I still recognize Hank Aaron, I think that's that's childish.
And you know this because you were in baseball clubhouses throughout the 80s, 90s, whatever. There was amphetamines, right? Like, amphetamines
all
was
kinds
a
of stuff
huge
going on.
Deal. I mean, there was also, even before the kind of quote-unquote steroid craze that came in with Jose Canseco and all them in the late 80s, early 90s, mid-90s, whatever.
Right.
People have been taking stuff forever. I mean, it's a lot to play 162 games, middle of the summer, it's hot, you travel, the travel's not good.
And it allows you to stay on the field.
Of course.
It rejuvenates you, it freshens you. It doesn't, eye-hand coordination,
yep.
The whole idea, that's why pitchers use it, because you know what I mean? They need to be fresh to be able to go back out there and throw 90 or 100 miles an hour. So this whole notion that it's a magical elixir, and if you take it, you have to have talent. There's plenty of guys who got busted in the minor leagues who never made the major leagues. You know why? Because they weren't good enough.
Yep.
If they were good enough, if the steroids or HGH made you that, they would have been in the major league. They never made it. They were not good enough. So this whole notion that Bonds isn't a home run king is one of the worst takes. And for Bud Selig to go on and say that is bad.
Well, and the fact that he really referenced bad. His friendship with Hank Aaron, that shouldn't matter.
And he goes, well, I know it's in the record book. That's the record. What are you talking about? Since when?
Real quick, you are a Hall of Fame voter. I would assume you vote for all these guys?
Yes, I do. The only guys I don't vote for are guys who got busted after they changed the rules.
Okay.
So before that, it would be like the state of California. All right, for people who drove, say, in the 70s, and they sent you tickets home, not you, you're too young, but say okay. They sent me tickets and said, we're giving you tickets for driving without a seatbelt because we knew back in the 70s you didn't wear a seatbelt.
Sure.
That's exactly what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm penalizing you because I know you were doing something when we weren't looking for it. That makes no sense.
Yeah. Is there anybody, so who would be the guys that got busted after, like A-Rod?
Manny,
yeah. I'm just curious.
Yeah, Palmeiro.
Sure.
Those guys got busted after the fact. So those are the guys who you have to take a look at. My only thing is, there's an eye test, and there's nobody who was marginal who got in because they, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because they used HGH one season. You could say, oh, that guy had a really great 1 year or 2 years. That's not going to get you into the Hall of Fame.
So you haven't voted for Brady Anderson yet?
That one season. There's guys who have had seasons like that, even way before that. Go look up Davey Johnson. Davey Johnson played with the Atlanta Braves in like 73 or 74. He went from the year before with the Orioles, I think it was the Orioles, he had 5 home runs. The next year in Atlanta, he had 39 or 37 home runs. He went from 5 to 37 to 39. Wouldn't you take a look and go, how'd that happen?
Didn't Brett Boone have one of those years, too? He had like 48?
Yeah. He had one. And maybe that was a year, like I say, you feel refreshed, you feel rejuvenated. It allows you
to be on the field.
Be on the field and feel good every day. And I get that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
The Clippers. Introducing Paul George and, of course, Kawhi Leonard. But there was also another story that caught my eye. And Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, was asked about the Anthony Davis demanding a trade with a year and a half left on a contract that he signed. And I guess they, you know, talked about whether or not it was a good or bad thing for the league. And he said it was bad. And Rob G has the exact quote from Steve Kerr on this.
That's right. Steve Kerr talking on the Warriors Insider podcast. He said, quote, "It's a real problem that the league has to address and the players have to be careful with. When you sign on that dotted line, you owe your effort and your play to the team, to the city, to the fans. And then once that contract runs out, it's completely within your rights to leave as a free agent. But if you sign the contract, you should be bound to that contract. If you come to an agreement with the team that, hey, it's probably for best for us to part ways, that's one thing. But the Anthony Davis stuff was really groundbreaking and hopefully not a trend because it's bad for the league," end quote.
100% correct. Steve Kerr is probably the straightest shooter in the NBA. I'm dead serious. I'm talking about whenever there's some sort of controversy or something going on, he takes everything head on. He's a realist. He's honest.
Except when KD got hurt.
You know, well, that was
then he ducked. But
what, saying that he didn't think that he could get hurt?
No, remember it was something about they said should he have played? He said, well, you know, I can't answer. That's Bob Myers and the doctors and
no, that was all right. Yeah. That one he did size.
Yeah, just that one. Just
but you know what I mean. But normally he's out front and he's honest, and people can say, well, players get dumped and traded all the time. How come the players can't take their own careers in their own hands? Because there's a league and there's competitive balance. And there's stuff that if you're going to, in the last part of your contract, say when Carmelo Anthony was with the Nuggets and he goes, okay, my contract's up in 4 months. I'm not re-signing with you. If you guys want to trade me to try to get something for me, I'm telling you, I'm not re-signing. That's different.
Sure.
Thank you for giving us a heads up. You're not going to negotiate with us. We should do something else. I get that. He had a year and a half left on a contract. All right? And when you do stuff like this, this is what people don't understand. The reason there's a draft, the reason that you sign a deal for years and it's binding is so that you can have some sort of consistency. If it's just like everybody should get to go do whatever they want, then we don't even need a draft. Well, you should be able to come out of college, come out of UConn.
Great school.
Which, you know, except for the basketball scandals, but come out of UConn.
How dare you talk about Gino Auria?
I want to talk about Gino Auria. And you should come out, take your resume and your reel and say, hey, I played at UConn. I grew up as a Knicks fan, or I grew up as a Celtics fan. I want to play for the Celtics. It's only because of the collective bargaining that you have to go wherever they tell you to go.
Of course.
And my only point is, it's not good because if you're New Orleans, is this going to happen to you in 4 years with Zion? Are you going to go through this where there are cities and teams that people don't want to play for that are now will have this happen to them time and time again because people are talked out of it? Michael Jordan went to the Chicago Bulls. I got news for you. The Bulls were awful. Terrible. They hadn't won jack. Nothing. They were the laughables. That's how bad they were. Did he go, oh, I don't want Chicago. I don't want to play for that sad sack organization. I only want to go to the Lakers or the Knicks or whatever it was back then. He played it out. He played with the players that were there, and he wound up turning it into a juggernaut, a dynasty, winning 6 championships, not losing. Everybody doesn't have to do that. I'm not saying I'm against free agency and people moving.
And neither is Steve Kerr. He said that in the
right
statement.
Right. I'm not. I am bothered by what Anthony Davis did with a year and a half left. If he gave them the high sign and said, hey, contract's up in 3 or 4 months, I'm not going to re-sign. If you want to move me, I understand it. That's fair. But to do that and put pressure and force an organization to have to trade you, and I blame New Orleans. If I was the GM or the ownership, I would have never traded with the Lakers. You would have had to go to the Lakers somewhere else. And remember, Green Bay did the same exact thing to Brett Favre. Where did he originally want to go? Do you remember?
Don't remember.
Minnesota.
Okay.
In the division. He wanted to go to Minnesota. And they said, no way, no how are we sending you to Minnesota. Where'd they send him? To the AFC to play with the Jets. And then he went on his own to the Vikings the next year. Same thing with Kawhi Leonard. oh, the Spurs should just trade him to the Lakers. That's where he wants to go and all that. No, where they trade him? To NBA Siberia. And I just mean it from because it's cold and
Toronto. Do you have a problem with Drake like Chris does?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Chris went after Drake too.
They sent him all the way to Toronto because they weren't going to give him to the Lakers. They weren't going to put Kawhi in a situation. And why reward a guy who's dumping on you or leaving you in the lurch? I would never do that. I would take a lesser trade to not give him exactly what he wants if he's done me wrong. And that's the only thing that I agree with Steve Kerr.
Well, and to bring it to another story today, I think that's what's so scary about the Paul George situation, because what the Paul George situation said to me, and I think Anthony Davis was bad enough 1.5 years, like you said. The Paul George situation, with 2 years left on his contract, a year after he signed it, the Thunder made the playoffs. When a guy like that is demanding a trade, that's terrifying to me if I'm an owner, if I'm a GM, if I'm a coach, if I'm a role player, because what that says is everyone is a free agent at every time, and it's just a matter of whether they're going to cash in that chip or not. That, to me, I think it's terrifying what Paul George did. And by the way, I'm with Steve Kerr 100%. Anthony Davis signed a 5-year, $145 million contract.
That he signed. It wasn't like he was forced to.
And but when you sign that contract, it comes with responsibility. They don't just hand you a check for $30 million a year without any responsibility. You got to be the face of the franchise. You got to be the leader. You got to be there when things go bad. I was thinking about this today, Rob. Imagine if, you know, a couple weeks ago I got married. Imagine if...
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Well, imagine if first time I got in a fight with my now wife, I just said, yeah, you know, it's not really going well. You know, it's not going well. I'm just going to go over there now. Like, no, it doesn't
fly. Wait a minute. Did you have tapes of my marriage? Or no?
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, so you're the Anthony Davis of marriage. The first sign of adversity.
No,
you
no,
ran
no.
The other way.
No. We were married for 5 years.
But that's what I'm saying. Well, longer than Anthony Davis
signed
that. But that's what I'm saying. When you sign a contract, there are obligations, and you don't just get to leave because the team isn't good or it's not going the way you thought.
But the thing that's crazy is they were actually good. They had swept
Portland
the year before in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they were moved. They had a squad. They had a team which came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, he didn't want to be in New Orleans, which I always think has to do with LeBron and Clutch Sports and those guys working behind the scenes to try to help LeBron. It's always about LeBron, not about Anthony Davis's career.
I agree. But to get back to the Steve Kerr comments, I just think it is such a bad precedent for these players. So I had a thought today, Rob. Tell me if this is crazy. Is if you publicly demand a trade, this is my thought, right? All these guys, they want to get traded. They want to go where they want their check. That's my problem. You're getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a week, tens of millions of dollars a year. Anthony Davis didn't even play this year. This is my thought. You publicly demand a trade, you automatically become deactivated. And you don't get paid.
No, you can't. That'll be against the union.
Well, the players' union wouldn't go for it. But my point is this, is you can't just... It's bad enough when you are a guy that the team is counting on, you demand a trade, but you still expect to sit there and get paid. That's not how the real world works.
I agree with that, but it'd be hard to do that.
I'm just saying.
No, and I get it. My thing is, I just wouldn't automatically trade somebody because...
I agree.
And the hard part is, and I do agree with... I do believe in this... I don't want somebody who doesn't want to be around. Like you know, like you see a situation where guys, they're like, the girl wants out of the relationship, but the guy won't let it go. You know, like,
sure.
I don't want to be with, if she doesn't want to be with me, why would you want to try to make her stick around? Does that make any sense?
Of course, yeah, but it's also, to go back to the marriage analogy, like at a certain point, you got to fight through stuff. You got to fight through adversity, and that's my issue with Anthony Davis. Like you said, they made the playoffs last season. He's the face of the franchise. He's supposed to be the reason. Paul George, you just made the playoffs in OKC, and now you want out 6 months later?
The only thing is, I look at the Paul George a little different. I really do, from the standpoint that he wasn't the OKC face of the franchise, even though they'd signed him, and I agree with that. And he's an older player, and he got an opportunity to go home and play. Now, if he went to me, if he wanted out and went to what y'all would consider a lateral move, if he didn't have any ties to the Lakers or Los Angeles, there's a little bit more to that in that he left Indiana And then I applauded him when he stayed at OKC. You remember he had a chance to come to the Lakers, and he didn't do it. And then he got into this situation where this is presented to him. And I understand your point is well taken. I look at Anthony Davis differently because Anthony was the face. Anthony was the face of that franchise. They drafted him. He was supposed to turn the franchise around. Paul George was a player who came from somewhere else.
My bigger problem with Paul George, though, is you could say he was the number two guy, Westbrook's the face of the franchise. The whole organization, as soon as he was the pin, you pull the pin out, and the everything deflates. The whole organization falls apart. He's not the face of the franchise, but you have to trade Russell Westbrook at that point. You have to start over. Billy Donovan's not going to be back after this year. That's my problem with Paul George. You can say he's not the face of the franchise. It still completely altered the entire organization.
Yeah, but they were the ones who decided to get rid of Russell Westbrook after that. I mean,
you can't keep rebuilding. He's 30 years old.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, they decided to pull the plug on the whole thing, and hopefully people there got refunds and on season tickets, because I would be like, this is not what I paid for.
You don't want to pay to see Chris Paul?
No.
I don't want to watch Chris Paul.
Unbelievable, like where that is and where that franchise is. And people are like, oh, they should buy him out and go to the Lakers. You're going to buy out $156 million or whatever it is that's left on that deal?
No, of course not.
Not close.
No way, no how.
No way, no. You know it. That ain't going to happen. So I'm with Steve Kerr. I thought the AD thing sets a bad precedent, and I think that if I'm New Orleans, I'm already, is Zion going to be poisoned after a year or two when people say, hey, look what happened to you, Zion. You know, if you would have gone to the Knicks, that Jordan deal would have been $100 million. You know, you went to New Orleans, it was only $75 million. You don't think that plays in his head, that he's losing money by being there? Because that's the perfect example. Don't you think he would have made more money if he was on the Knicks?
I think he got basically the biggest rookie contract ever for a shoe deal.
By a couple of shekels. I'm not buying that. You really believe that?
I think he would have gotten more for the Knicks.
Would he have gotten? Well, that's my point. So why should you play in a town where you're making less to do the same thing?
So you're saying this is the end of small markets as we know it?
I don't. If people keep doing this, if this is the way we go, this is something that's going to have to be changed. And what I think that if I'm the commissioner, the only way you can do it is either limit how many max or star contracts you can take. Like, you have to classify guys into groups, and you can only have two, what I would call A classification. You would be deemed one A, B, C, and D contracts, and you can only have two. So the whole thing of LeBron, AD, and them trying to get Kawhi would have never been able to go because they already had two A deals.
What if you
draft? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but what if you draft really well like the Warriors and you want to keep Steph, Clay, and Draymond?
Your own players are different. And that's because that's the way they pay. I'm talking about when you add players who were not drafted.
Okay.
Because that's how they even grandfather it in. You could pay the teams that draft players can pay them more than if you go move. Every time Kawhi Leonard has moved, he lost $40 million going from the Spurs to Toronto, then going from Toronto to Clippers, he lost $50 million. He lost $90 million because he made those two moves. So they penalize you. He would be making $90 million more if he would have stayed with the Spurs. So I think they have to do something like that.